Good morning. In our first lesson, we saw where baptism played a prominent role in apostolic preaching. In every case of conversion described in the book of Acts, baptism is mentioned. As G.R. Beasley Murray, a Baptist scholar, observed, "Baptism is a part of the proclamation of Christ. In an apostolic sermon, it comes as its logical conclusion." And what did the apostles proclaim regarding baptism? Last week, we noticed that it was commanded for the remission of sins, Acts 2, verse 38. It was done to wash away sins, Acts 22, 16. It involved water, Acts chapter 8, 36 through 38, and chapter 10, verse 48. It was done immediately, with no delay, even if after midnight, Acts chapter 16, 25 through 33. This would certainly suggest that baptism is necessary for salvation. But is this a fair conclusion drawn from the preaching of the apostles? Is this conclusion consistent with the teaching of the apostles as found in their epistles? In this lesson, we will examine what Paul taught in his epistles regarding baptism. Let's start with by noticing what he said about baptism in the book of Romans. First of all, baptism is a burial and a resurrection with Christ. It is a baptism into the death of Christ, Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? It is a burial with Christ into death. His death, we are crucified with him, Romans 6, verse 4. Therefore, we're buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. It is done in order that we might walk in newness of life. Verse 5 says, "For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection." It involves crucifying the old man, that body of sin may be destroyed, Romans 6, verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Then it thereby frees us from sin as we die to sin, that we might live with Christ. Romans chapter 6, 7-11. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that also we shall live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon you yourself also be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Note carefully, Paul does not say that baptism symbolizes things which had already occurred. Many say this is the purpose of baptism, or the design of baptism, often quoting this passage. But read the passage carefully. Paul says no such thing. But rather, Paul describes baptism into Christ as when such things occur. We are buried with him through baptism into death, Romans 6, 4. It is in baptism we are buried with Christ into death, his death. We thereby die to sin in baptism. We were buried with him, why? That just as Christ was raised from the dead, even so we also should raise from the dead to walk in newness of life, verse 4. We are baptized in order to rise to walk in newness of life just as Christ did. Note also Paul's preface to these remarks, "as many as were baptized into Christ were." What blessings he describes pertain only to those who have been baptized. What of those not baptized? The blessings described would not apply. In his commentary on Romans, Martin Luther wrote, "Baptism has been instituted that it should lead us to the blessings of this death and through such death to eternal life. Therefore, it is a necessary thing that we should be baptized into Jesus Christ and his death. Though believing that we are justified by grace through faith, and he would say by faith alone, Luther understood that salvation by faith did not preclude the necessity of baptism. Why, we shall see shortly, but let us go on to consider what Paul wrote of baptism. In his epistle to the Galatians, baptism is how we put on Christ. In Galatians 3, 26 and 27, Paul says, "For we're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of us been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." We learn that baptism is involved in the process of becoming sons of God by faith in Christ Jesus. The "for," beginning verse 27, begins an explanation as to how we become sons of God through faith. Baptism is therefore the means by which we put on Christ and become sons of God. Note carefully, Paul wrote, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." For as many means no more or no less. Only those who have been baptized into Christ have really received Christ into their lives. Many teach, "Receive Jesus Christ by saying the sinner's prayer." But the Bible nowhere teaches that this is how one receives Christ. Rather, one puts on or receives Christ when they are baptized into Christ. How this is possible without being a form of works, salvation, becomes clear as we consider what Paul taught concerning baptism. In his epistle to the Colossians, Paul says that baptism is a work of God, a spiritual circumcision in which sins are cut away, Colossians 2, verse 11, in whom also you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands in putting off the body of sin of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. It is a burial with Christ and also a resurrection with him, verse 12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. Made effective through what? Through the faith in the working of God, Colossians 2, verse 12, in which God makes us alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Verse 13, and you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened or made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Here we learn that baptism is a work of God, not man. Just as it was God who raised Jesus, so it is he who makes us alive, having forgiven our sins. Verse 13 of Colossians 2. Our part is faith in the working of God as we are buried with Christ in baptism, verse 12. God is the great physician who is cutting away our sins through the blood of Christ. We are simply the patient who humbly submits in faith to the surgeon's scalpel. He is the one who makes us alive that we might rise to walk in newness of life. Again, this is something Martin Luther clearly recognized when he responded to those who would call this kind of work salvation. Yes, it is true that our works are of no use for ourselves, says Martin Luther. Baptism, however, is not our work, but God's. Finally, let us consider what Paul taught concerning baptism in his epistle to Titus. Baptism is a washing and regeneration. Is Paul talking about baptism in Titus chapter 3, verse 5? The figure, washing, certainly alludes to the baptismal waters. We have already seen where in baptism we are raised to walk in newness of life, Romans 6, verse 4. We're made alive by God, Colossians 2, 12 and 13. Does this not suggest a washing of regeneration? Martin Luther and many others understood this verse to refer to baptism. Thus, God saves us in baptism. It is a washing of regeneration, a washing in where we are reborn. It is a renewing of the Holy Spirit, a renewal in which the Spirit is at work. Just as Jesus said, "Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God," John 3, verse 5. Note carefully, if you would, this washing and regeneration does not occur because we have earned it. Baptism is not a work of righteousness by virtue of which we merit salvation. We are saved by the kindness, love, and mercy of God, Titus 3, verses 4 and 5. It is by God's mercy that he, not we, saves us, which he does through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he does when we are baptized into Christ. Through such mercy in Christ Jesus, we are truly justified by his grace, Titus 3, 6 and 7. Friends, Paul taught that baptism is a burial into the death of Christ, how we die to sin as we are crucified with him. It is a resurrection with Christ so we can rise to walk in newness of life. It is a putting on Christ, thereby becoming a child of God. It is a spiritual circumcision in which sins are cut away. The working of God whereby we are buried with Christ, made alive as our sins are forgiven, and then raised with him. It is an act of God's grace and mercy in which we experience a washing of regeneration and a renewal of the Holy Spirit. If all these things happen when one is baptized, how can anyone say that it is not necessary? Sadly, many who say it is not necessary misunderstand those who say it is necessary, thinking that they believe in salvation by works, when they truly believe in salvation by grace through faith. They misunderstand the Apostle Paul, having him say things about the purpose of baptism he does not say, failing to appreciate what he clearly teaches about baptism. All this in their zeal to oppose what they mistakenly view as work salvation. Do we deface the majesty of baptism in our mistaken zeal to oppose what we perceive to be a form of works of salvation? Or do we, like Paul, commend it by noting his own teaching regarding baptism? Friends, if you'd like a copy of this lesson, please let me know and I'll get it to you. Just call me at 330-682-3896. If there's any way that we can help you, please let us know. And until next week, may God bless and keep you.